Blog Talk Radio.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Champ is here. The radio champ is here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Rap Sessions Radio. I am your host, Ray T, son of JT, a true Tulsa radio pioneer, here on Thursday, April the 19th, 2018. The number to the show, 646-716-9191, 646-716-9191. Shout out, as always, to the class that remains live, the mighty, mighty class of 1985, Booker T. Washington High School, T-Town, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Shout out also to the Tiger Nation, Grambling State University. GSU rocks the house and remains the Mac of the SWAC. As always, my show is dedicated to the memory of my mother, Mrs. Elbertha Turner. Mama, rest in power. Hope you enjoy the show this evening. If you are a follower or a listener to the show, you know that I always mention my classmate, Mr. Leonard Singleton. Lenny has been incarcerated in the state of Virginia. This is his 19th year, and I am happy to say, and that's why I keep saying it every week, that my brother will soon be a free man. He is scheduled to be released in June. His wife has set up a GoFundMe page for him, and I believe it's on the Justice for Lenny page. Our classmates, you know, his wife has posted it on the class Facebook page. If you would like to contribute to Lenny and in helping him in his return to society, you can contribute to his GoFundMe. You know, this brought up something, and actually it goes right along with the main topic for this evening, which is, are we ready as a group of people? Are we ready for Wakanda, or the concept of a place or a time or a space that resembles or is similar to the fictional land of Wakanda that was in the movie Black Panther? And the reason that I said that is because of the popularity of the movie. The concepts that we're going to talk about would be the same, regardless of whether Black Panther had been released or not. However, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how since Black Panther came out, folks got all dashiki on a brother, which is fine if wearing a dashiki is your thing for real. My thing is that too much of it, I believe, is what a good friend of mine and I call faux. You know, faux fur is fake, right? It's not real fur. And so faux activism, faux nationalism, faux protests are very popular nowadays, because people can participate, or at least give the appearance that they are participating in a particular thing, simply by, in many cases, going on Facebook and putting up a fist as a comment, or the ever popular praying hands. Now, I know that when some of you all do this, you feel that you're being sincere. I beg to differ. If you know that person, I think that you should call that person. I think that you should make an attempt to communicate directly with them. I know that now this is a very popular thing for where people show their concern or their involvement. My concern with that level of involvement is that it doesn't go any further than that. You are not held to any type of a standard, and there are no expectations of you beyond your emoji that you post. And I think that we are getting further and further away from emotions, human, natural human emotions, and into Puffy Font 100, the Power Fist, the Praying Hands, and the Big Eyeballs, as in I see you. So if we're not careful, our way of communicating, and actually it's already begun, and I know that people are involved in it because it's the thing to do, and you know, it's what's happening, it's popular, it's this and it's that. But I would submit to you that those of us who are my age and older, y'all know better. So you have no excuse for becoming so deeply involved in this, what I consider to be, in many cases, a very, very superficial thing. And so we're going to talk about what it would take with the spirit that we would need to be in, the place, the state of mind that we would need to be in order to enter into an era that resembles what happened, what went on in the movie in Wakanda. But I want y'all to realize that they didn't open up Wakanda until towards the end of the movie when the brother realized what had been going on, and that branch of his family had been basically cut off and left to fend for themselves. And, of course, that parallels our sojourn here in the United States. But I would submit to you, I have seen some evidence, and I would encourage you to look this up for yourself. I would submit to you that it is worth researching to find out whether or not you are among the black folks that, as Martin Luther King mentioned, were here before the Mayflower. Some of us, America is your mama. You right where you at, that's where you from. Okay? And so I would submit to you that that is worth researching and looking into to see if you are among those who are in your natural and original land. You're not so much African Americans as this country is African America. And so I would strongly suggest that you look into that, and I'm going to research it further so that I can present the facts that I have found. And we're going to have a show about that, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our origin. Clearly, some of us have our roots in Mother Africa, because this is also a challenge. Go on YouTube and watch some of the movies that they make over in Nigeria. In Nigeria, they have a thing called Nollywood. That's N as in November. Instead of Hollywood, they have Nollywood. And these are films that they make in Nigeria. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, they're dramatic now. If you think black folks here got drama, watch some of those movies that they make in some of the Nollywood movies. Now, of course, they are exaggerated because it's Nollywood, right? So you're not going to get a true flavor, a true taste of African culture or individual cultures within Africa, for instance, the Yoruba. You're not going to get the full thing. Some of the movies are like that. And so if you're looking for that strictly culture, you can search those out. But the majority of them are very soap opera-esque. But I think that it's worth your time to check it out, even if it's just to understand that this is in existence. And back to what I was saying about Lenny, and in the theme of what we're talking about this evening, is that this GoFundMe page for him started me a thought process for me, and thinking about our hundreds of thousands of brothers and sisters who are behind bars for whatever reason. We all know that some people do things and there is corrective action that is required. There are others who have received sentences, as in Lenny's case, that are disproportionate to what they did. Some things they are in, some of our brothers and sisters are incarcerated for things they didn't do at all. I think one of the most egregious things that happens in reference to the criminal justice system is someone who is incarcerated for that length of time, and they suddenly find out that the person is innocent, and then they release them. There was a story I saw last week, 2 weeks ago, of a brother who had been incarcerated for, I believe it was 40 years. He was a very young man when he was incarcerated, and he was incarcerated for 40 years, and they let him out. And at his press conference, he said he wasn't mad at nobody, that he held no ill will, and that he was not angry for the 40 years of his life that he spent behind bars. I don't know how I would feel, because I haven't been through that. And many times we have to exercise a little caution when we put ourselves, interject our own sensibilities and our own ethics, or whatever you want to call it, into a situation that does not involve us and that we have not been through in any other circumstances. And so I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would feel if I had 40 years of my life taken away from me. I think about that in Lenny's case and the time that he has been incarcerated and all the things that I've done in the last 19 or 20 years. And none of those things would have happened. So you would be a totally different person. So I don't know how I would react, but upon hearing him say that, my first thought was, I'd be mad at some damn body. I'd be mad at whoever said I committed that crime, that's for sure. But again, that's not my experience, and so I really cannot say how I would react to that. But I believe that part of our responsibility as a community, as a family, and if we were in the correct state of mind or frame of mind, when our brothers and sisters are incarcerated, and certainly when they are about to come back into society, I believe that we should support them. We should help them get a start. And if we were all, can you imagine someone who had been incarcerated for that length of time, and 1 million of us gave a dollar? $1. That how that would positively affect our family as they come home. We could give 50 cents and they'd still have $500,000. They still have $500,000. Because they're not going to have anything when they get out of prison. And I believe, and as I'm saying this, I can hear people saying, $1 million? I ain't got $1 million. I didn't ask you for $1 million. I asked you for one. Right? Even that line of thinking is part of what I'm talking about this evening. Is, are we ready? If the portal, if a doorway opened to the promised land, to Valhalla, to Shangri-La, Wakanda, whatever you want to call it, if that doorway were to open tomorrow, would we be ready for something like that? Or would it be as like I put in my Facebook post, would y'all be twerking your way up to the door? Right? as you know, when you make progress in any area of your life, there are things that you have to leave behind in order to make progress. And so are we ready to leave behind the destructive, negative behaviors that we display with each other? Now, this is my concern. This is my main concern, because many of the things that we march and write, make signs and protest and boycott over, the treatment from others, white folks in particular, but they all in on it to a degree. You can get some funky behavior. If you've ever dealt with anybody from Japan, if you ever dealt with Japanese people, they can be real nasty. Now, I'm speaking from my personal experience. Very rude, very dismissive. I don't know how they act around white folks. I'm assuming that they act a little bit different, but I can tell you how they act around black folks. And I have been around quite a few Japanese people in my day, just, you know, through being in IT and traveling around, as I'm sure all of you have had an opportunity to interact with people from other cultures. But the treatment that we get from others, we do far worse to each other. You even got a thing called no snitching, where if somebody robbed my mama, y'all don't want to tell. That's the streets, man. It's the streets, man. You don't drop dime. Man, stop. Stop it. Because if somebody did something to my mama and didn't tell me, I found out you knew and didn't tell me, guess who I got a problem with now? Guess. Yo ass. And that brings me to a thought. As I say that word, y'all know Wanda's not on here. Right? Because if she was, first of all, I would have said she was here. And second of all, I would not have been as loose with that word, because Wanda does not like that. And I agree with her. And so I am going to try and to maintain the same standard as if she were here. But since that's probably not going to happen, let me go on and give Wanda a round of applause. Okay. So she's not feeling well. Wanda's not feeling well this evening. And so we want to wish her well, and I hope that she feels better and will be back with us on next Thursday. I have a caller, so I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to bring the caller in. First of all, make sure they want to talk, and then we'll bring the caller in, and we will continue the show. Number to the show, 646-716-9191, 646-716-9191. 9191 on Rap Sessions Radio, and we will be right back after this short break. right, family, we are back here on Rap Sessions Radio on Thursday, April the 19th, 2018. Number to the show, 646-716-9191, 646-716-9191. Shout out to my nephew, Brother Jamal. He's on hold right now, so I'm going to check back with him after the next break or two and see if he wants to participate in the conversation. Nephew's down in Edmond, Oklahoma, going to college. Proud of you, nephew. He's down there. He's doing a good job. And sharp brother, man. And I'm very proud of him and the way that that he has carried himself and continues to carry himself. And so we're going to get nephew on here in a little while. As I said in the opening, we're talking about healing from the inside out. And when I say that, inside out, what I mean is our community, black folks, right? In particular, what we're talking about, though, can apply to anyone in general, because the goal should be for everyone to live in harmony and everyone to be safe and everyone to have someone who cares for them and not have to fear when they are in the presence, this person, this group, or that group. To a degree, from what I've seen to this point in my 51 years on this planet, I'm not quite sure if this place is even designed to function in that way. But what do you mean by that, Ray? Well, what I mean by that is that we are surprised when things go well. We are surprised when someone tells us that they dealt with a particular agency, a particular entity, a particular person or group, and came out unharmed, or that things worked out for them in a positive way. So much of what I have seen in this world appears to be designed to fail. Right? We can take the current administration as an example of that. You have an education secretary who has never been in a public school. You have a housing and urban development secretary who has never lived in any type of public housing, has no experience at all. It's a medical doctor. You have a head of the EPA who does not believe in regulating these companies. You have a lady who was nominated to head, and I cannot recall the title of her agency. I believe it's Fisheries and Wildlife, and I may have that incorrect as far as the name, but it has to do with wildlife in this country, and she does not believe in the endangered species list. And so it's like, okay, well, you can't kill too many of them. Just, you know, do what you got to do. And so you put these things together, and with the deregulation, you're going to have people drilling where they were never allowed to drill for oil. You're going to have animal species that are disrupted because of this activity. They're going to destroy their habitat, all of these things. And so we're not going to get too deep into that. But my point is, you have the exact wrong people in charge of agencies that in many instances have a great deal to do with people's quality of life. And so if you have someone who is in charge of something who has made it clear over their professional lifetime, certainly, that they don't have any regard for the person, place, or thing that this agency governs, and then you put them in charge of it. And so now what you think gonna happen? Right? Nothing good. And so if you have circumstances like this, it makes me think about my high school coach, our offensive coordinator. Shout out to Coach Verdell Schultz. Coach Schultz used to say, if it is to be, And so if this planet is to be saved, if we are to be are to get to a point where we live in harmony, if we are going to achieve a state of mind that will bring about Wakanda, then we are going to have to find a way to treat each other better. I don't care what type of advances are made in this world. If we cannot first develop self-love and self-esteem, establish that in your home, that in turn, if you establish that, if a group of homes or all the homes in a community establish self-love within their households, and then they spread that love amongst their family, and they begin to take care of each other better and look out for each other and love each other. If you have 5, 6, 7, 8 homes like that in a block in an area, now you have a neighborhood where everybody feels in a similar way, treats each other in a similar way. And then that spreads to another neighborhood, and now you have a community of like-minded people. You don't necessarily have to hang out. You don't have to invite each other over for a barbecue. It doesn't have to be like that. All we need to do is share a common belief in treating each other like we got some sense. I mean, that is really the way that I see it. I don't understand how we can make progress in any other area if we can't conquer this one, what I believe to be the initial step. Because other than that, every time you get together, you're going to be fussing. You're going to argue about who's in charge. You're going to not want this person to get more than you. You're not going to want them to have 5 if you only have 4. In other words, what we have now in our community. I hear black folks get together conference after conference after meeting after symposium and this and that, and you talk about all the things that we're talking about here this evening. But inevitably, someone wants to be in charge that's not in charge. Someone wants to go in a different direction than the group. And so then they spread what they want to do. And so then they get their 6, 7, 10, 15 people. And next thing you know, you got a subgroup and they've split off from everybody else. To a great degree, we have been deprived of so many basic things for so long that the mentality of individualism, the I got mine, you get yours way of thinking is the rule of the day. I said probably 10 years ago when I started to really know that, maybe it was a little more than 10, maybe 10, 15 years ago when I started really noticing this. And I said, and I still say this, that we have taken on the ways of the beast. Well, who is the beast, right? America. Survival of the fittest is not an African or a black state of mind. Survival of the fittest means that only the fit survive, and that if you fall by the wayside, you leave them there. When our history and the history of many other peoples on this planet is of an extended family, right? Our Mexican brothers and sisters, extended family. When I was growing up, it was not unusual for the mother, father, and their children, and then a grandparent to be living in the same house, because we didn't put our people in an old folks' home. We didn't do that. Of course, this was back when we had much more home ownership. And so we could do that. It wasn't that we could afford to do it. Yeah, you just had the room. What you couldn't afford was to put your elder into a nursing home or an elder facility. But that wasn't our way. We took care of our older people. We took care of our elders. Right? So many of those old ways that are very familiar to me because I grew up with them and my peers did as well. Many of those things have been put to the side for quote unquote more modern ways of thinking. Before we continue and take another break, and I'm going to bring Nephew on if he wants to go ahead and have a comment. I wanted to bring to you all some news, if you can call it that. Now, let me tell you something about how I feel about the news. I don't watch the news. I don't, because all the world's a stage, and one of the main it's like Barnum and Bailey, you know, it's like a three-ring circus. One of the main rings in this circus is TV news, TV in general. Tell Live Vision in general is one of the main components, one of the main ways that propaganda is spread, one of the main ways that prejudices are reinforced. One of the longest running shows on Fox was a show called Cops. And effectively what Cops did was indoctrinate an entire generation of folks to believe that the police only arrest black people. Black people are the only people that need to be arrested. And I can recall when I was in law enforcement, when I first got into law enforcement, before I began to really see what the game was, myself and other officers, we would watch Cops. When it first came out, it was kind of raw, and it was more to the way that real policing was. It was boring, and then it got super exciting, and that's kind of how it was. As it went on, what the show began to do was to, as I said, indoctrinate an entire generation of people and show them once a week. And then in syndication, you could probably get it every night, just how depraved and drug-addled and violent and all these other things that black folks are. And Spanish folk, brown folks. it's funny because I think now the only white people I used to see on Cops were people who had some type of it. They were homeless. They were on some type of a drug. Or they had some other issue. They had a mental issue, perhaps. And so they were cast in a light in which where they may have been committing a crime, but there was an excuse given for the reason that they did what they did. And so TV, you have to know how to watch it. As long as you know what you're looking at, that's fine. But be very careful when you take anything at face value that you see on TV. My strong suggestion to you is the same that it has always been, especially now in this age of information. Do your own research. Do your own research. You see something that don't look right to you? Do your own research and make up your own mind. Right? One of the things that's going on in this country right now that is huge is divide and conquer. Inflammatory stories that, in my opinion, I have seen too many of these that are very, very suspicious to the degree that I believe some of them have been faked.
What?
That's what I said. Because here's the thing, and y'all know this, the police harass, abuse, beat up, shoot black and brown folks every single day. Every single day, from coast to coast, north to south. It happened all the time. Now, how many of those times does it get on TV? How many of you know an instance where something happened, where someone was brutalized in some way by the police, and it never made the news? Not national news. I'm talking about it wasn't even on the local news. If it was, it was mentioned very bloop, and it's gone. That's the real stuff. Those are the real shootings. Those are the real beatings. Those are the real crimes. I believe a lot of the stuff that's happening right now is to tug at your heartstrings for some reason. Like that little white boy they had singing in Walmart. If you look at that video, he was lip syncing very clearly. Look at it for yourself. Right? Even to these two brothers that were arrested in Starbucks. What was that, yesterday, day before? Watch that video closely. Especially my brothers and sisters who are former law enforcement, or if you know someone who's in law enforcement, or if you had a job that was adjacent to law enforcement, watch that video. And you tell me. Watch that video and you tell me. I see black folks sitting in Starbucks, Panera Bread, and what's the other one? I can't think of another. There's another place that's kind of like that. I see people sitting there all the time. Ain't buying nothing, ain't eating nothing, ain't drinking nothing, ain't doing nothing but sitting there reading or on their laptop. And they don't call the police. Right? Pay special attention to the guy who was the white friend who came up, looked directly at the person who was filming, and then started to say his lines. Look at it for yourself. And when those two brothers were on TV going around doing their media interviews, where was the white friend? In my opinion, the white friend is key to this whole incident. Because what happened was something that needs to happen. People from the majority group are going to have to start to open their mouths. Your silence, is just as egregious as the people who are committing these acts. Because you have the power to say something. I saw a video yesterday where a young white guy was running from an officer, stopped running, turned around, squared up on the officer, put his dukes up, old school style. The officer put his dukes up. The dude, you know, threw a couple of fake punches, grabbed him, and slammed him on the ground. And three other officers ran and grabbed the kid to pull him off the guy. Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you being serious right now? Right? Squared up. Grabbed the officer. It was a beautiful takedown. Slammed him on his back. And he's alive today. Now, there was something a little suspicious about that too, because the video was cut off. So you don't know what happened after that. However, y'all can do that, white folks. And live to tell about it. Tell the story, right? Sit around drinking past Blue Ribbon and telling that story. The significance, I don't want the significance of the white friend being involved or the white person being involved in this case. I don't want to dismiss the significance of that. It is very significant. Okay? Because to say that, oh my God, that's horrible. Look what they're doing to you. But you don't do shit. You don't get involved. That is as egregious as the person who is committing the violent act, whether it's law enforcement or whomever. So I don't want to diminish the fact that the person, this white person, spoke up. That imagery or that fact is crucial to any true change that is going to occur. Because if our voices mattered in this case, it would have been changed long ago, because we've been telling y'all. that this stuff has been going on. We've been telling you, right? So if that in and of itself was enough to get something done, it would have been done a long time ago. But the majority, so-called majority race in this country is going to have to get involved if there's going to be true change in this country. And so when I saw that guy initially, I was like, okay, until he turned around, looked dead in the camera, turned back around and started saying his lines. And as I said, where is he? I need to see him. Now, let me say this. I don't mind being wrong. I'm not here to convince you, to sway you, to bring you over to my side. And I say this all the time, regardless of the subject matter. My idea of success in reference to this show is if I stimulate your thought process. If I make you curious enough to go and take your Twitter fingers off Twitter and go to your keyboard on your computer, pull up the Google and research it for yourself. If I get you to do that, if I stimulate your thought process to that degree, then I'm successful. I've done my job. Notice I didn't say that my job was to convince you of anything. No one can convince another person of anything. Nothing. Only you, like Smokey the Bear used to say, only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can stimulate your intellect. Only you can change your mind. That's up to you as an individual. I'm not here for that. Right? Even if you say, well, that damn Ray, crazy, he don't know what he's talking about. Let me go over here and see what's going on. If that happens, I've done my job. And I've said this before as well. If you do that, if you take your Twitter fingers to the interwebs and you find out that I'm wrong, let a brother know. I appreciate you. I ain't mad because I don't want to give out bad information. Regardless of the size of my platform, I have one. And if I'm going to show respect for it, then I need to give out, at least to the best of my knowledge, what is good information. Now, whether or not you like it, I don't even know if I care about that. You don't have to like it. That's up to you. Again, nobody can make you like anything. You have to make up your own mind. Right? If he likes she and she no like he out of luck. She got to make up her mind that she love he. And if she love he, then everything's all right. Right? But you have to make up your own mind, family. You have to make up your own mind. And the only way that you can make up your mind about anything is if you stimulate your mind, if you engage it. A lot of y'all walking around with smartphones that's smarter than your ass. Right? Why you got a damn device smarter than you? That is an inanimate object. It can only do what you tell it to do. But your smartphone's smarter than you. Right? A smartphone and a dumb user. Come on now. Come on. The God-given computer that you have in your head will put that thing to shame. Because you have the ability to create. You have the ability to think independently and to feel. Those are all things that your device cannot do. I know they're trying to get it there. They got the face recognition. They got a little thing. You look at it and make your face animated and all this other stuff. You are the ultimate smart device. However, just like that phone, if you turn it off, it don't do nothing. If you turn your brain off, it don't do nothing but observe and absorb. It doesn't think, it doesn't feel, it doesn't create. So be careful how much of yourself you give over to all of this wonderful technology, even though it's making my show possible. It's a tool, right? Like any other tool. Use it properly. All right, number to the show, 646-716-9191. 646-716-9191. Are we ready? If Wakanda was to open up tomorrow, would y'all walk in with your heads held high and proud? Or would you be twerking, shooting the deuces, and giving shout outs while you're on your way in the dough? We will continue our discussion right after this short break. That first break bumper music there, I might have to put another label on that. I like that. Family, we are back here on Rap Sessions Radio on Thursday, April the 19th, 2018. Number to the show, 646-716-9191, 646-716-9191. Quickly, I ran across this story, and I know earlier I mentioned how it's easy to think that, you know, even this thing wasn't even designed to work out well. And it's a cold, cold world, man. I'm telling you. I'm looking at this story, and the headline is Alabama to execute Walter Moody, 83 years old, oldest inmate to be executed in modern U.S. history. That's cold, man. That's cold piece. I'm looking at this dude. He's 83 years old. 83 years old. You going to execute this cat? Man, just let him live it out, man. You know what I mean? 83 years old. You going to put this dude on a, strap him to a gurney and inject him and kill him. That's a cold piece, man. That's a cold piece. But it is par for the course. Played some golf yesterday. Had a good time. All right, we'll talk about that later. Right now, I'm going to bring in the brother like no other. I'm bringing my nephew in. Nephew, come on in, nephew. What you got?
I appreciate that applause, too. I appreciate that applause.
No problem. No problem, nephew. You seem like you like that. Hold on. Let me give you a little more.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that. There you go.
Before I get started, you know, I just wanted to, you know, thank you for allowing me to put in my two cents. And, you know,
indeed.
I see what you're doing, Unc. You know, you're doing great things out here. So, perfect role model. There's not many like you. So, appreciate it.
Well, it's no problem, nephew. As I said earlier, I'm very proud of you, bro. You know, you are definitely doing your thing, man. You are, you know, an upstanding young brother, man. And anybody, you know, would be proud to have you as a nephew, as a son, because you are very accomplished young brother, man. And I appreciate you, and I know your mother does.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
I know your mom does. So that's always a good thing. So what you got for me, nephew?
Well, just as far as the topic of self healing, something that I just was thinking of while you were talking about that was, in order for one to be healed, they have to want to be healed. And
true.
You know, as far as our community wanting to be healed, we have to want that. So we can't go anywhere else until we all decide on the same page that we got to make a move together. And that's the problem in society. You know, it's a crab barrel out here. When you see one person doing something successful, not enough people bring them up. There's more people tearing it down. And that's what, and that's already making and just like you were saying earlier, just the police brutality and just being black in America, that's already a strike against us for one. So if we don't understand that we have to, bond together in order to, get over this oppression that's put against us, that we're going to be in the same place. We're just like a crab barrel, everybody pulling each other down.
Yeah, that has been an issue that we have been facing for a long, long time, ever since they took the first of us out of the cotton fields and brought them into the house. And even though,
right,
even though the one that they brought into the house was disrespected, marginalized, taken advantage of in a much different way than the brothers and sisters in the field, they thought and still think that they were better than their brothers and sisters who were out working in the fields. And that has been one of the things that has been used against us. You have the so-called middle class black folks, upper class black folks. And the one thing that we all have in common, regardless of where we are in society, your standing in society, you are still a black man.
Black.
You are still a black woman. Whatever else you are, you're a black one. If you're a lawyer,
society doesn't change your skin color.
You're a black lawyer.
Right.
If you're a doctor, you're a
black
doctor.
Yeah.
Right, you're a black male man. So whatever it is, you black before you are that thing. Whereas people in other cultures are afforded the opportunity to just be a plain old male man.
Right.
To just be a doctor, to just be a lawyer. Their ethnicity.
Yeah, it's the title.
Right. Their ethnicity is not part of their title. They're just Dr. Whoever or Mr. Whoever. And so that is definitely something that we have had to deal with for a long time. And, one of the reasons I'm glad you called, nephew, is I'm always curious to hear what young folks have to think or have to say, rather,
right.
or thinking. About what's going on in the world, because I'm looking at it from a totally different perspective. I see young folks doing things with their white friends that we never thought of, or that there were no white folks who were interested in hanging out with us, you know, to that degree. And I saw this video, and I know that this young white man thought that he was supporting his friend. There was a young brother and two young white boys, and the one white guy was angry at the other one because apparently he had called his black friend a slave. Now, he called himself defending him, and this is what he said. He said, "Don't call my nigga a slave."
Oh, come on.
You racist piece of crap. That's what he said to him.
Right. And it's crazy because people show their true colors when they're angry. And bro was so mad at his friend that he ended up revealing how he really felt about his so called friend. These white boys are crazy,
He said, don't call my N word a slave. And when he said that, man, all I could say
what?
Right.
Are you serious? But he thought he was defending his friend. He thought that he was doing a good thing by saying that in that way, and he was so ultra passionate about it.
I know that he was looking for his Good Samaritan Award after that.
Oh, all day and twice on Sunday. And so if you take that as an example of a young white person thinking that they are being on your team, when they do that, that's an indication of how backwards things are. Now, I would say this. That young brother should have calmly walked over to his white friend and punched him in the face.
All right. Just, off
and
tops.
Be on the team, but not like that.
Right. Support from the stands. However, that's what we called it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. How do y'all feel about that? When I don't know what the student population is at your school, but how do you all feel when you hear young white folks use the N-word? I mean, to a degree, it's hard to avoid, much harder now because it's in the music. And so for that.
So it's easier for them to get away with it.
It's out. Yeah, it's out because now they can say, I'm just singing along with Wiz Khalifa. Eagles or whoever. By the way, there's never been a time in the history of music when the least lesser talented people have been famous.
Are becoming, famous and rich for not being talented.
Ooh, talent. Okay. And I believe
this is my generation, so I definitely know.
Right. So how do y'all feel about that, man? Like you got one of your little white homies or whatever, or perhaps a white dude on the side somewhere and something, music's playing. And then the word is coming.
Right.
Are y'all watching him to see if he going to say it, or how do y'all feel about that?
Well, on this campus, it's probably only about 30% of the campus. I wouldn't even say 30, really. Maybe about 20 to 25, maybe 28. Percent is black, so the majority is white because this is a PWR. But within that small black community, we stick together and everybody who's black knows each other on campus. But you really can't avoid the white people here because there's a couple classes. I'm the only black in the class. I'm the only brother sitting there in the front.
Right.
So you have to know how to communicate with your surroundings and to adapt to your environment, but without losing yourself, because they will try to catch you up with that. As far as, I'm a very social person, so I have, different friends, white friends.
Sure.
And,
there's nothing wrong with
that. Right. Yeah. And there are some white friends within that, you know, group of black people that are cool with, you know, some of them. But there has been a couple of situations where, you know, a white person might have said that, and, you know, they've used the excuses, you know, well, where I'm from, I've been saying that, you know, y'all say it's in their music, excuses like that. So the first time, you know, if me personally, and if you in my surroundings and I hear you say it, I'm going to give you a warning the first time, you know, just out of respect, just because.
Right.
So if I go off on you the second time, you would know that I gave you, you know, you a warning.
Exactly.
So
and
I
think that's a good way to approach it.
Yeah, just to, you know, be open. And because, you know, really, as soon as I first hear it, what I really want to do, I can't, you know, I can't hit him with that Wakanda backhand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
can make him feel the power
right.
of all my ancestors.
Exactly.
I want him to.
Exactly.
But it's just, you know, but it's more of a mind thing. Like, I think they say to see how you're going to react and you know, just to see how, you know, if they can get away with it. But it usually doesn't get past that second offense.
They're testing the waters, and the current administration has a lot to do with that. They inflamed that big time during the run up to the election, and it has continued to be inflamed after that. Now, I will say the same thing in this situation that I would say when when 44 was in office. If you are in a situation like that, and it doesn't have to be the N-word, it can be any other disrespectful behavior that you know they are doing to you because you're a black man. It can be any of that type of behavior. It doesn't necessarily have to be the N-word. It can be any of those microaggressions that white folks do, any of that passive-aggressive crap that they like. So some of them so much, and that is, my philosophy is this: I don't bother anybody, but I'm not going to let you bother me.
Exactly.
As soon as you do something that I don't like, I'm going to scratch the, you know what? I'm going to do this right here, nephew. I'm going to
scratch
the record.
It up. Right.
I'm going to scratch the record.
Pause.
Right. I'm going to scratch the record. And I'm going to let you know, hey, man, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you do it again, like you said, you do it again, and we got a problem. I don't care.
You can't blame me for having that problem. You don't want
it. I don't care if you say it from around you, where you from. I don't care about where you from. You're not there right now.
Exactly.
You're not there right now. This is about where you're at. This is not about where you're from.
Right.
This is about where you're at. Right? And where you are right now is in the presence of a brother that's not having that.
Exactly.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
Brothers.
And like, they know, bullies always know who to pick on. If they pick on you and they get busted in the nose, literally or figuratively, they'll pick on somebody else next time.
Yeah, they ain't gonna mess with you no more.
They don't mess with you no more. They stick that toe out there and that water's hot. They're not going to stick that toe out there anymore. They're going to find somebody else. And I'm going to tell you this, son. There is always someone of any group willing to sacrifice their dignity to be around another group. Right? You will always see self-hating people who, when you know doggone well that white folks don't like you, they will sacrifice their dignity in order to be around them. I think about that sheriff that was from up in Wisconsin, the brother who used to wear the cowboy hat. You saw him on the news all the time during the election.
Yeah.
Right? Cat gets up there, and he is supporting everything that these white supremacists and so on are doing.
Yeah.
Knowing good and well that his black behind in the wrong place will get the same treatment that everybody else getting. But they sacrifice themselves,
man,
in
crazy.
Order to get along. Yeah, well, that's been around as long as there have been people. There's always going to be somebody who's willing to be that coon, right?
Yep.
There's always that brother who's
Tom.
In the middle of the white boys. He's in the middle of the white boys who are using the N-word or this or that or the other thing.
Hey, and there's a lot of them like that down here. Because, they in those white fraternities. So, they just forget that they skin. They literally, I honestly feel like they literally forget that they're black.
They have
because it doesn't, the stuff that they do, the stuff that they stand for, it doesn't make sense to.
They have to sacrifice to that
identity. Yeah,
yes, they have to in order to be where they are, in order to do the things that they do with these folks. They have to belittle themselves. They have to put themselves in a position to be ridiculed. They have to go along with the off-color racist jokes, the sexist jokes. And because I'm going to tell you, people like that. One thing they like to do in front of black folks is say bad things about other cultures. Well, they say something about black, but they like to degrade Mexican folks.
Other cultures.
They'll talk
bad about
women. They'll say something bad about Jewish people. They'll talk bad about some other race in front of you.
Yeah.
Right. In front of you. To further dehumanize you now, either you co-signing on this crap, or they're going to get rid of you.
Right. And I want to throw me over the shit.
Don't compromise yourself like that, man. Don't be a lap dog.
Right. Yeah.
Because people get tired of that dog sitting in their lap, what do? They kick him out. They toss him off their lap.
Get away from him.
When they get tired. When they get tired of your lap dogs laying up there licking on them, they're going to kick you out.
Yep.
Whereas if they see you and you a Doberman from the beginning, they will never invite you in their lap. They don't have the power to kick you out. They'll leave you alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
They'll leave you alone.
And it's crazy because...
Go ahead, son.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was just saying it's crazy because, they don't know their worth. So they don't know that they're actually, they have more power.
Yes. Yes.
They
don't.
They can use the things that they're, blessed with that the white person ain't. And instead of, using their power, just like you were saying, they have to downgrade and degrade themselves. They have to belittle themselves.
In order to even be involved, you have to belittle yourself.
Right. And then it's not even on the same level. You have to belittle yourself so much to where you under.
Exactly. You have to. Because that's the only relationship that the people who think that way, that's the only relationship that they will have with somebody who's not a member of their group. That person has to be in a position that is lower than them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be on equal footing, even though they're in the same fraternity. I guarantee you, them brothers that's in that frat have to do, are doing, and will continue to do things that those white boys won't do. Because they're going to make them do it.
Right.
They're going to make them. That's the only way they can stay in there. Only way that they can stay in there. But nephew, we're getting ready to head to the break, but you got anything to say to the family before we take this break?
No. Just shout out, to my fam. Y'all know who y'all are.
Right.
Appreciate you for letting me, speak a little bit. I've actually been telling myself that I needed to call in and, show some love. So I'm glad that I finally got the opportunity to do that today. So.
Right.
I appreciate
you. Well, so am I. I'm glad you called, bro, and I appreciate you. And this is a perspective that, people my age, we really want to hear. Because if you're looking from the outside, it looks like all our young brothers and sisters are down with this crap.
Yeah.
Right? It looks that way.
Yeah.
But as I talk to people, I can see that it's not that way. And so I will take the blame for believing the things that I was seeing before I started having more conversations with young folks. And so I was misled to a degree in the same way that I tell people to avoid, right? Which
yep.
is go and find
yep.
out for yourself. Go right. and find out for yourself. And I actually want to do a show. As a matter of fact, if there is something, and you don't have to tell me now, but if there is an issue that the young brothers and sisters there on the campus or just friends of yours or whomever, if there's an issue that y'all are concerned about, and it doesn't have to be anything. It can be whatever is important to you guys, right? You know,
right.
whether that's job after you get out of college, whether it's relating to the people that are on the campus, you know, in the city, we're traveling or whatever it may be. Because I want to make sure that we get those issues out there and that guys have an opportunity to speak for yourself.
Definitely. Most definitely.
As opposed to people, again, from the outside looking in and making assumptions or coming to conclusions, and we really don't have the firsthand information, because that's what I want. I want the good information,
right.
whether it supports how I feel or not.
Yeah,
it does not matter.
Truth.
Because if it's the truth, then I can deal with it. I can accept
yes, sir.
It. And that's the way that is. So, nephew, appreciate
and one
you.
One last thing.
Okay, hold on. I'm already playing your applause. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I definitely agree with what you were saying as far as opening our mouth as a community. And if you're not saying nothing, then you're not helping at all. So I'm definitely glad that you're spreading that message.
Exactly.
Because that's a problem that we're having across all areas of our community.
Yes.
So that was a great point.
Yes. Yeah, if you're not, you have to, we have to get away from this stuff where it's like we think we in the mob or something, that you're keeping all of these secrets and you're loyal to the streets and this and that. Get out of
right.
here with that stuff. We College need to take care of each other. We need
yeah.
to take care of each other. And if somebody in our community does something wrong to somebody in our community, we need to step up and say, hey, he did it. That's him right there.
And let the chips
fall where they may, because we cannot, on one hand, demand respect and fair treatment and equal this and the same of that when we don't treat each other that way. That's hypocritical. You want somebody to treat you better than you treat yourself.
Yeah.
I advise people against that in any relationship, whether it is a neighborhood to neighborhood, one group of folks to another group of folks, or you and your girlfriend, right?
Right.
Never, right. never do that, right? Never.
Right. yeah.
Never, never, never. No,
never.
No, 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 no. That is a no-no.
But yeah. Right.
It's so again, son, I'm glad you called. And we're gonna do some collaborating somewhere down the road here, where I can have a show that is centered around the issues that you guys are concerned with, because
Definitely. You
all are the ones. You're the next leaders. You're the next folks that are gonna be confronting this madness head on. And I
yeah.
think that we need to know, those of us who are older, we need to know where y'all are coming from.
Yeah,
and what's important
so
to you
work
and how
together.
There's no way that we can ever come together, even among ourselves, if we don't first understand where everybody's coming from. Black folks are not monolithic. There is no one point of view. There is no one way of doing things. There is no one way that everybody was raised. We're not monolithic. We are the most diverse people on the planet, and with that diversity comes difference. Differences in opinions and differences in, you know, what we think is important and what we don't. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. So kind of float that out there to the homies, you know what I mean, and find out
if there are issues
that they would like. And it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's not profane. You know, because we I really think that that's something that should be given some attention, because, you know, quote unquote, grown folks, old folks, we have our own way of looking at things. We've lived through more of these things. And so at this point, we need to communicate with the young folks and advise you, right? Not try to change your mind or make you do this or that or the other thing, but just say, hey, if that's what y'all want to do, check this out. We tried something similar back in the 80s, and this is what happened, right? So you see that coming, then you know what it is, right? And then go on with your mission. And because it's always the young folks that lead when there's a time for change anyway. Always.
Yeah.
You look back down, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, whatever era that you want, that you choose. When you look at the people who had their feet in the street, it was young folks.
Yep.
Right, young folks like you and your and your peers, right? So we definitely want to hear from y'all. So like I said, son, I'm glad you called. You're welcome to call the show anytime, and I'm looking forward to the next time you do that.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right.
I'll take that applause now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay,
I love you, man.
We'll talk with you now. Y'all take care. Love you.
All right.
Right. All right. That was my nephew, Jamal. Jamal is this is his sophomore year in college, and so hearing from the young brothers like that is definitely something that. And even as we were talking, I'm beginning to realize how important that really is. And so I'm glad that nephew had an opportunity to call this evening and become involved in the conversation. We're going to take a short break, family. We'll be right back. We're actually going to have to cut the show a little short this evening. The job I have that pays the bills, yeah, I got some requirements for this evening. So we're going to cut it a little bit short, but we will be back next Thursday for our full 2-hour show, and hopefully Wanda will be feeling better and she will be here. I know she said she's going to listen to the show later, so I know that the few curse words that I use, she's going to get on me about that. So I'll have to face that music when that time comes. All right, number to the show, 646-716-9191. 646-716-9191 here on Thursday, April the 19th, 2018, and we will be right back after this final break. nobody enjoys their theme music as much as I do. Okay, family, welcome back to Rap Sessions Radio here on Thursday, April the 19th, 2018. Number to the show, 646-716-9191. Speaking of April 19th, tomorrow is April 20th. Some of y'all know what that means. Some of y'all don't. Tomorrow is 420. Now, if you are not into the marijuana culture, you might not know what that means. 420, if you hear somebody say 420, that's always slang for weed. It got started back, rumor has it that it got started out in California back in the mid to late 70s. A group of high school kids would meet to smoke after school. And 420 was a time where all of them could get from school over to whomever's house they were smoking at. So if you hear somebody say 420, that's what they're trying to tell you. So tomorrow is 420, and one of the shows that I'm definitely going to do here probably pretty soon is going to have to do with medical marijuana or marijuana in general and the course that marijuana has taken throughout American history, going back to the time when they had the marijuana stamps. And what that stamp was basically like a license. Congress had these marijuana stamps, and people could get them, they say. And with the stamp, you could possess a certain amount of marijuana, because at one time, marijuana slash hemp was a very big part of the United States culture, because they made rope out of hemp. And during World War One, in particular, the farmers to grow hemp, because they were using the fibers in hemp for rope. And hemp has a lot of different uses. There is an oil that is made from the hemp seeds. Hemp seeds themselves are used kind of like sunflower seeds or something. People put them in salads, and the different debates back and forth about the medicinal properties of that. But there is no debating the effect that the certain strains of marijuana have for people who are suffering from serious illnesses and or chronic pain. Something interesting is going on right now, and this is something that I predicted about 10 years ago, that as soon as the federal government figured out how they could get a piece of the pie, weed would be legal. And as you have seen in Washington State, Colorado, D.C., well, I bet y'all didn't know about D.C., did you? Well, D.C. has a big medical program. So Washington State, Colorado, and California are the three states that have recreational marijuana. And it's getting ready to spread. I'm looking at an article here that says, first marijuana-derived drug poised for FDA approval after winning support from advisors. Apparently, there's a group of advisors that advise the FDA. They review certain drugs and advise them on whether or not the drug should be made available, should be made legal. The form is CBD. CBD stands for cannabidiol. I can never say that word, but it is the chemical in the marijuana that is the anti-inflammatory, pain relief. It helps people who have seizures. I even saw them give it to a dog who was having a seizure. They gave it to the dog, and the dog stopped having the seizure. So there's no doubt that there are benefits, because they couldn't tell the dog to fake a seizure, right? Or these children, these little girls. I saw a little girl years ago when they were legalizing it in Colorado. And they showed the baby, and she was having a seizure, and they gave her, I think they put it under her tongue. And in a minute or so, 2 minutes, she was fine. However, I do not trust, and nor will I be involved in any FDA-approved marijuana products, because the FDA-approved Ritalin, the FDA-approved Paxil, the FDA has approved many drugs that have given their users horrible side effects to the degree that they require a different medication to deal with the side effect. There is a quote-unquote acceptable loss rate for people in FDA trials who may become seriously ill or pass away when they have those commercials and they show the lady and, you know, she's taking Cumarosal and she's running through the dandelions and she's smiling and her hair is blowing in the wind. They don't show her sitting in the chair balled up in pain or trembling from convulsions that she's gotten or an inability to go to relieve herself or perhaps relieving herself too much. That none of those things are shown in those commercials. And so they are all FDA approved. So the fact that the FDA approved this marijuana derived medication, it does not impress me. Not one bit. As a matter of fact, I would use extreme caution. If the government, whenever they start just straight up selling weed, grow your own. That's my advice to you. Right. And last part of this I'm going to leave you with. It's hilarious to me. Marijuana industry says seniors are the next budding market. Get it? Budding. Baby boomers return to weed after many years away from it. Let me tell you something. If you think all them baby boomers was away from weed all this time, you're sadly mistaken. There was no public use. By these are the people who came up, you know, during the 70s with the free love and the this and the that. And weed was a very, very large part of whatever was happening in the 70s. And so this is the group of people that they're talking about, that they're saying they're returning to weed. And, of course, they have been identified, as is the case in this capitalistic society that we live in. They have been identified as a potential market. And so pay attention to how the narrative is changing from the marijuana's on Schedule One, which it still is with cocaine and meth and all these other drugs, man-made drugs, from the days of the Schedule One and you know, and we'll never, and no, this is illegal, and ah. And now look whose face they're putting on it. Pawpaw. They're putting Pawpaw's face on it. And Meemaw. That's what white folks call their grandma, in case y'all didn't know that. Some of them. Call her Meemaw. Right? So now, instead of a stoner, slacker, skateboard cat, you know, or the brother. You know what? And I saw this bit, an ad that was talking about women of color getting into the legal cannabis industry. The image they had of the women of color was a sister smoking a joint. Well, that's not being a part of the marijuana industry. That's being a consumer. The same thing they always show you doing, consuming. When I can tell you for a fact that there are sisters who are in the industry, they are not in the industry as consumers. They are in the industry at every level. They are accountants. They are research scientists. They're growers. They are marketers. They are developing products. They are salespersons. They are involved in regulatory issues. So there are women, period, right? And as well as women of color. You know what? Black women, right? Latino women, Asian women. That people of color bullshit. Sorry, Wanda. It's just that. It's a pile of bovine excrement. People of color can be any damn thing or any damn body. This was an article about, as you go by the visual, it was about black women. But they didn't show the sisters in a meeting. They didn't show the sisters at, you know, even at a grow house talking to people who are developing the products and this and that. They showed the sister smoking a joint, which is the same image they've always shown of us. A consumer. Right? Complete with the dreads and all of that. I can tell you right now, some sisters with perm in their hair that's high right now. All right? So they take the stereotypical image of this sister, dark-skinned sister, too. Pretty girl. But everything about that was stereotypical, and they call itself being inclusive. Same way with the little white boy telling the dude, don't call my N-word a slave, right? You're not helping. I know you mean well. I know you think you're helping, but you're not helping. Okay? So be cautious as this new era is ushered in, as this begins to spread more and more across the country. Because I always said that when they found out how to make money, they would change the laws. This is the last point I'll leave y'all with. Colorado, about 7-8 years ago, maybe even 10 now, when they had the medical program shortly before they went recreational, they took $10 million out of the money that they had collected in taxes from marijuana sales and balanced the state budget with it. Did you hear what I said? They balanced the state budget with it. I knew then that a new day was coming. Right? So it won't be long before you can go into, if you're in Tulsa, into the Quick Trip. Well, nah, I ain't going to say Tulsa because Oklahoma going to be last to legalize it. Y'all be riding down to Dallas to get your weed. I'm telling you right now what you're going to do. Now you people are going to Colorado. You'll be taking that short 4-hour drive down to Dallas within the next 3 years, 3 to 5, to get your bud. Because Texas is going to get that money. They're going to get it. Oklahoma, they so backwards. They'll be last, right, if ever. And so you can go down to Dallas and take care of business, right? And so as this new era comes in, just be cautious about how you get involved in it and look around and see how money has changed this thing, right? Right? Cream, cash rules everything around me. Got to get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. So we're going to have a show about that soon because now that they have figured out how to get the money going, things will definitely be changing. I'm going to go ahead and end the show, end this episode now. I'm getting email constantly since I've been on the air. I want to thank my nephew for calling in. Appreciate you. Everybody who has taken or whoever takes time out to listen to the show, I appreciate you so much. This is the best therapy in the world for me. I can get on here for these couple of hours and I can, you know, put aside whatever it is that I've had to deal with because now we're dealing with the family. And so that is a much larger concern. And so I appreciate y'all for that. The only other thing that I do that takes my mind off of stuff like that now is that I play golf. Notice I didn't say I was a golfer. I said I play golf. Right? I played yesterday, as a matter of fact. Gorgeous day here in Louisiana. And I played on yesterday, and I'm going to play again tomorrow because I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. You're outside in the beautiful weather, and it's just very relaxing. Something that I would adjectives that I would never have used to describe golf as a young man. But if you have never tried it, give it a shot. It's plenty of black folks at the golf course. Don't be worried. Don't be shy. Don't be like me when in the beginning. I didn't think there was no black folks out there. It's plenty of them. It's plenty of everybody out there. I saw a Mexican brother with his daughter. I think his daughter said she was 10 years old, and he's teaching her to play. I saw a brother with his son yesterday that was 12 years old. He's teaching him to play. a few of the local high schools come and practice at the course that I play at. And so you see young folks playing all the time, and I think that's great. I wish I would have. And I talk to my peers all the time and say, if we picked up golf when we were kids the same way we played basketball and football, we would be taking that over too. They'd be trying to figure out a way to keep black folks from winning the Masters every year. That would be hilarious. Anyway, thank you all for participating. Thanks again to Nephew for calling in. Wanda, get well soon. And I hope that she is feeling better next Thursday, and she will be back on the show with us. And I will say what I always say. It sounds like three words, but it's only two. Love yourself. We'll see you next time.
The champ is here.